If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Matthew chapter, sorry, Seal, I put 12. It should be 24. That's my fault. Matthew chapter 24. It's going to begin at verse 12. So I had on my paper Matthew 12, 12, but it's Matthew 24, 12. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful for this opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for getting us here safely. I pray your blessings upon us that when we dismiss from here, you will get us home safely. Thank you for 2017. Thank you that this is a time for us to be able to reflect on your faithfulness, your goodness to us. We ask now, Lord, as we approach the Word of God, that you would give us a heart that is willing and ready to receive, a heart that will change our lives, a word that will change our lives and put us in the direction that you would have us go. Bless this time together, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 12, it says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that it shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." We've been talking, as Don mentioned, about a series entitled The Power. We started back in November, and we talked about, of course, that all the power belongs to God. Aren't you grateful that the God we serve holds the power in His hands? Amen. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He holds the universe together, the Bible says, by the word of His power. Nothing can stand against our God, and the good news is He is for us. The power of the gospel is the power of salvation. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of the resurrection. It's the power of grace. The gospel is still the message that is needed to change the world. The power of the Spirit, we talked about that. The Spirit makes all things new. He brings new life. He indwells every believer, and He fills everyone with power who will ask Him. We are a church that still believes in the present-day manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then last week we talked about the power of the incarnation, which is the story of God's redemption. It is the reality that not only did God come to us, but God became one of us. And today I want to share a message that I've entitled The Power of the End. The Power of the End. There's something very rewarding about finishing something. How many of you would admit to that? Something very rewarding about finishing something. Now, there's a lot of us that are experts when it comes to ideas. How many of you know some idea people? How many of you are idea people? You got a lot of ideas running around up there in your head, right? A lot of us are experts when it comes to ideas. This is what we're going to do. We sit down and say, this is what we're going to do. These are the ideas I have. This is how I see it. This is the vision that I've got. We're dreamers. We're talkers. All right? But many times it never gets past this stage. It never gets past the dream stage. It never gets past the talk stage. I mean, you know, we can talk something literally to death. We can literally talk about it for so long that we think we've already done it. I thought we already did that. No, we just talked about it for 6 months. A lot of us in here are expert starters. We actually move out of the dream talk stage and we start the project or we start the activity or we start doing whatever we intended to start, and you know what intentions do, right? Well, we get so far into it and then we decide, well, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to sit off to the side here a second. You know, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to drink my cup of coffee. I'm going to watch this football game. I'm going to sit down for a second. I'll get back to it later, and it's still not finished. Come on now. How many of you have got a lot of unfinished projects around your house? A lot of unfinished. You probably still have the hammer laying there where you've kicked it 19 times, but you still haven't picked it up to drive that one last nail into the wall. It's one nail, for heaven's sakes. Amen. Still, there are those of us that are finishers. We set our hearts to do something, and we don't stop until it's done. And at the end of it, the finished project is the reward all by itself. You get to the end of it, you step back, you look at it and say, man, I don't need a pat on the back. That's just fantastic. Look at that job. All right, but then you bring everybody down to see it. Look here. Put it on Facebook, you know. It was a reward, but it's already on Facebook. Everybody knows what you did. Congratulations, you finished a project. The new year is upon us, and it will bring with it the idea people. The new year comes along, and the idea people pop out. The dreamers come along. The talkers come out of the woodwork, and the starters make resolutions during this time. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against resolutions, I'm definitely not against idea people, and I'm not against dreamers. We need more idea people. We need more dreamers. We need more people that can see, that have vision, because the thing is, there are some people that are just that way. They are the idea people. They need people to come and make their vision a reality. Some people, I have trouble driving nails into the wall. So, I mean, sometimes you can see what you see, but you still need help. That's why the church works so good with each other. We need more of these people. But the power of resolutions is not found in the starting of them, but in the finishing of them. Amen. The power and the benefit of a resolution is not found in the list that you have made. It's the fact that you finished that list. Now, don't get me wrong. Starting can be hard. And most of us will admit that one of the hardest parts of any project or any activity or anything that we do is to finally decide to step out and do it. Will you admit with me to get up and say, you know what, if I'm going to get in better health, I've actually got to do something. I don't know if you know this, but watching the Food Channel doesn't change your diet. Man, those are great ideas while you're shoving a hot dog down your... I should try that asparagus. Oh, God, God. Am I right? You know, you have to actually turn your exercise bike or your treadmill. You've actually got to get the clothes off it that you've been using it for and get on and actually use it, right? We've got, sometimes that's the hardest part. But we've accomplished very little if all we ever do is start things. We have to have endurance. We have to have perseverance. We have to have a certain level of stick-to-itiveness about us if we're ever going to experience the benefit of resolutions, the benefit of deciding to do something. And this passage in Matthew is a part of what teachers will call the Olivet Discourse. And here Jesus is prophesying about future events. He's prophesying about the destruction of Jerusalem, and he's also prophesying about end of the world events. And when it comes to Bible things, probably what grabs the attention of most people is what we call eschatology. Eschatology is just the study of end things or the study of last things. So when you talk about eschatology, you're talking about end time events. So believers and unbelievers alike will be interested in end time events. And so you'll see this all the time. You recognize that even Hollywood tries to make movies about it to show us how the world is going to end, whether aliens are going to attack us or we're all turning into plants or, you know, or an asteroid is going to destroy us unless Bruce Willis saves the day. We understand that people are fascinated with how everything might come to an end. Even science tells us that we are all racing to a eternal destruction. The sun eventually is going to burn up, and the universe, as we know, will probably turn into some black hole, and we'll all be sucked in like Star Wars, and then we can finally see Chewbacca. But what I'm saying is that people recognize that end-time events are things that grab people's attention. And the book of Revelation brings trepidation, it brings curiosity, it brings excitement all at the same time. So we want to know their end. There's some of you in here that can hardly read a book without skipping to the end of it to find out how it ends. Y'all know anybody like that? Yeah. Just fighting yourself. You're halfway through the book. I gotta know what happens. They hardly can't even get to the end of it. And we all have friends that are spoilers. You ever met, you got those friends, they go see a movie and they decide to tell you the end of it? Or they've read a book and they tell you, hey, you're reading that book. Did you know he dies at the end? Thanks for helping. Thanks for letting me know. We all have those spoilers. They tell us the end of movies. They tell us the end of events. They tell us the end of books to our chagrin. Well, I just want everybody to know, here's your spoiler alert. In the end, Jesus wins, the devil loses, believers go to heaven, and God makes all things new. There, I spoiled it for you. In case you're wanting to know how it ends. Jesus wins, the devil loses, believers go to heaven, and God makes all things new. It's good news, ladies and gentlemen. So there's nothing wrong about being curious about the end. I mean, people are consistently want to know about their future. They want to know what's happening. I mean, there's palm readers. You can go and look at crystal balls. We look at our horoscope and tells us you're going to go out and meet someone. Oh, look, there's someone and I met them. It was right. The stars have aligned. The planets are where they need to be and they're telling me who I am. We're interested in the end. We want to know things that are going to happen. But for the most part, when it comes to our lives, we just don't know the end. There are markers in our life that can help us recognize where we are and therefore recognize where we're going and recognize where we're going to end up. I mean, there are certain things in our life that we can look at, and I've said this many times and tell young people this all the time. I can look at your friends and pretty much tell you where you're going to end up. Whoever you're surrounding your life with, whoever's influencing you the most, I can probably tell you where you're going to end up simply by the people you're hanging out with. No matter what your intentions are, if you're hanging out with the wrong people, you're going to end up in the wrong place. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's biblical, ladies and gentlemen. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed, the Bible says. Not just a fool will be destroyed, a companion of fools will be destroyed. You hang out with the wrong people, you end up in the wrong place. You hang out with the right people, you end up in the right place. There are a lot of markers in our lives that we can look at, whether it's relationships or jobs that we take. There are warning signs that will tell us what direction our life is going in that helps us understand. This is where I may end up if I continue going down this road, but basically we don't really know. All we can do is live our lives. All we can do is follow after Jesus and trust Him with the direction that He wants to take us. The Bible says every step of a good man is ordered by the Lord. So I recognize that every time I pick my foot up, He's putting it down. And so I can trust Him that my walk is going to take me someplace. So when it comes to how we are living our lives, going to the end, it all has to do with grace, the grace of God giving us the ability to do what He's called us to do. And it has to do with obedience, and it has to do with faith. If we're going to get to the end of this thing, whatever this thing is we're talking about, we need grace, we need obedience, and we need faith. But Jesus points out a very powerful truth in this passage. First of all, there's a warning. He says sin is going to abound. Corruption is going to be common, and many are going to be overwhelmed in the end times. So in the end times, we're going to see a flood of corruption. And obviously, it doesn't take much to recognize that. The Babylon Bee said that the ocean levels were rising about 3 feet just from the politicians sweating in D.C. about the sexual harassment claims. We understand that corruption can flood and almost swallow us up. So Jesus doesn't... I like the fact that Jesus is always honest with us. Iniquity will abound. And not only will corruption abound, but He tells us that because of it, the love of many will grow cold. So His warning is, sin is going to abound, iniquity is going to abound. So first and foremost, protect your love. Keep your love for God hot. Don't let what is happening around you or happening to you affect what's happening in you. Don't allow what's happening outside, the toxicity and the poisonous of this culture and the idea and the people around us, suck the life and love of God out of our hearts. No matter what is happening to us, folks, God is still God. He is still faithful. He still loves us. He's still for us. He's still all-powerful. He still answers prayer. He saved us, redeemed us, healed us, delivered us, filled us with His Spirit. He's still our God. We will love Him to the end. He even tells us that the main thing that will bring about His second coming is the preaching of the gospel to every ethnic group. The Great Commission is always the heart of every purpose of God. And we, what I think is so awesome about this, we are a part of the consummation of all things. We are literally a part of the bringing about of the end of end times. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that we are a part of that generation upon the ends of the world have come. But in the middle of all this, in the middle of these warnings, in the middle of what it takes, Jesus says that it is endurance that is the ingredient needed for this to happen. Endurance protects our love. It keeps us hot for God. Endurance is what is needed to preach the gospel throughout the world. The main characteristic of winners in the end times will be endurance. They endure to the end, which means there are a lot of people who are going to start this thing with us, but only those who endure to the end are going to enjoy the benefits of the end. The only ones who enjoy the benefits are those who have endured. But this is not just for eschatology. This is not just an end time discussion. Life demands endurance. Winners endure. Those who reap the benefits of any activity, event, plan, dream, are those who persevere and finish it. Amen. Those who see the greatest benefit are those who have determined, I'm going to set out to do something and I will not quit. And when it comes to our spiritual walk, I've said this many times, the only way we can lose is to quit. The only way that we can lose in this walk with God is to give up. Which that means that as long as we are standing, as long as we are fighting, as long as we are praying and praising and obeying and pursuing and trusting, then we are still winning. We might get batted around, we might get pushed around, we might even get knocked down, but we are not counted out. We are still in this thing. If the devil is roaring, that means we're still fighting. And when we get to the end, whatever that end may be, we could be talking about the answer to a prayer that you've been believing God for, or we might be talking about the fulfillment of a dream that you've had, that God's placed something in your life, or maybe it's a job, or maybe it's a goal in your marriage or in a relationship, or it's your goal in your own personal or spiritual life. Whether it's standing and saying, hey, I want to do exactly what God called me to do. Or whether we are talking about standing before the presence of our King at the very end of this age. When we get to the end, we will be able to rejoice because we are a part of those people who leaned on grace, walked in obedience and faith to the promise that God has for us. That's why the Bible says that the promises of God, if we are going to receive them, it literally takes faith and patience. It takes endurance. It takes perseverance. So as we come to the end of another year, I want us to look at the power of the end. I want us to set our hearts until this new year is exactly what God planned it to be in our lives. There's three things I want to point out about the power of the end. And there's four things I want us to challenge you with at the end of this. First of all, the power of the end is in the fact that it's over. Over, obviously, there's something final about the end of something. When you come to the end of something, it's over. It's done. Right? Now, this doesn't mean that the memories disappear. They don't exist. Or that the benefits or even the consequences of the event aren't real. We all have to live with the decisions that we've made. We are today the sum total of all the decisions that we've made yesterday. So we are where we are because of the decisions that we have made. Make no mistake about that. So I'm not saying that when we get into this new year that we aren't still going to reap what we've sown in 2017. It doesn't just start over in 2018. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap, unless it's the end of the year, and then you can hit the reset button. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I understand the problems that we have in 2017, they don't just go away when we turn the page on a calendar. And I should let you know, the project that you're working on doesn't finish itself either just because you turn the page on a calendar. Right? But 2017 is about to go in the history books, which means it's over. It's gone. There's nothing we can do to change 2017. It's gone. It's a part of our memory. It's a part of our past. The past is now gone. And so this is the power of the end. We can consider it over. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I don't have it all together, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. It starts right there. There is power in forgetting. Amen. There is power in forgetting. There is power in carrying a mindset into the new year that the things that harassed us and weighed on us does not have to continue to have its power on us as we go into the new year. We can go in with the mindset that tells us that what may have happened to me in 2017 doesn't have to affect me the same way in 2018. There is power in deciding to let things go. There is power in deciding to forgive. There is power in deciding to stop looking backward. There's nothing that we can do about what happened in the past. We may still face some of the same battles in the new year, but we don't have to be the same people. And that makes the difference, doesn't it? Yeah, some of the same problems are going to be there. Some of the same heartaches, some of the same worries, some of the same weights are still going to be here in 2018. I'm not trying to paint this picture that says, well, all right, January 1, you're going to wake up and all of a sudden everything's going to pop up posies. All your bills are going to be paid. Your house is going to be paid off. You're going to get a promotion. You're going to find that person you always wanted in your life. You're going to have a new car. You know, you ever notice who's buying these Mercedes and putting bows on them and putting them in the driveway, and then the spouse comes out and is like, I didn't know you got it. Who's spending that kind of money and the spouse doesn't know? I just want you to know there's power in letting things go. There is a certain power about coming to the end of something and saying, it's over. It's over. Right? Doesn't that get you through things sometimes? How many of you, if you set in your mind when you're going to the dentist, it's almost over. Right? Just one more thing. It's almost over. Well, when it's over, I get a sucker. Right? I mean, we do that for our kids, don't we? When we're done, you get a sucker. Amen. It's almost over. And that gives us the ability to go into number two. Not only is it over, it's a new beginning. The power of the end means that there is a beginning of something new. The power of the end gives us the greatest reward in the power of the beginning. The thing about reflecting is that it can bring memories that make us smile, or it can bring memories that make us sad or make us frown, right? Coming to the end of something can bring with it a feeling of accomplishment or a feeling of pride, but it can also bring regret. How many of you have ever had buyer's remorse? Come on now. Man, Tina got excited about that. Buyer's remorse. You ever go out, you know, and you think, man, I'm going to put this, I'm going to do this project, and this is the kind of flooring I'm going to put down. You put it down, you step back, you look at it, man, I don't like that. But you're stuck with it. You know, unless you're the people that buy Mercedes and put bows on them in the driveway, then you tear it out and put something else down. Right? Some of you, unfortunately, have had buyer's remorse with a car. Am I right? Buyer's remorse with a house. You buy it, I got my house, and then you look around, and you're like, well, that needs fixed, and that needs fixed, and that needs torn down. Let's just burn it. We've got insurance. Buyer's remorse. We understand that there is those things about the end that we look back and we say, man, I wish I wouldn't have done it that way. I wish I would have done it differently. But the power of the end is that we've got a new beginning. We can start again. The fact that it's over means that we can also move on. Amen. We can move on from the mistakes. We can move on from the pain. We can move on from the betrayal. We can move on from the bad news and the events of our past into something new. Paul goes on and says in Philippians 3, not only do I forget those things which are behind, I press on towards the mark. I'm not just going to forget what's behind. I'm going to keep moving. Endurance always means we're moving forward. It doesn't necessarily mean we're moving fast. It doesn't even mean that we're moving pretty. But we're moving forward. I mean, if you've ever seen me out in the woods trying to get up a hill, God help me. I'm going to get up that hill, I promise you, but it ain't going to look pretty. I'm going to go sideways and fall down and grab a hold of trees and pant, but I'm going to make it to the top of that hill because I'm not staying down here. And there are times in our lives, folks, that endurance just means move forward. If all you can do is take one step at a time, then you're moving forward. Endurance always means I'm going forward, that we are pushing through, that we are moving on. Every step is new. Every event, every activity, every place we find ourselves is a place to see a new day. To adopt a faith-filled attitude instead of a fear-filled attitude, and to let love rule the day. Now, there's a common thing when we start talking about, you know, our past year. Typically, we always focus on the bad things, but 2017 could have been a great year for you. But there are some people that just have this attitude where I had a good year, so that means the universe hates me, and 2018 is going to pour all dirt on me. You know people like that? Well, I had a good day. That means tomorrow will be awful. right? Things are going well for me. That means eventually my house is going to burn down. You know, that people just have that. Nothing against Joey and Val. I'm glad that your house didn't burn all the way down, but you had some smoke damage. God bless you, people. 2017 smoked out their house. But you know what? 2017, whether it was good to us or whether it was bad to us, we can still see that this upcoming year is going to be a year where God can do something new in our lives. So what are we going to do? It's still a year that we're going to lean on grace, we're going to live by faith, and we're going to live by obedience to the glory of God. We're going to lean on grace, we're going to walk in faith, we're going to live in obedience to the glory of God. God is going to get glory out of my life in 2018, and that means He'll get glory out of my life in the good times and out of the bad times. That He's going to be faithful on the mountain, and He's going to be faithful in the valley. And we have to remember that what we do when we're on the mountaintop determines what happens to us when we're in the valley. So make no mistake about it. I'm not promising you a 2018 where you float to heaven. There are no years that will exist like that. It will be a fight, it will be a battle, but they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Number three, the power of the end is in its certainty. The power of the end is the fact that it is certain. All things come to an end. Sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes that's a bad thing, but everything ends. This church service will end. The time it took you to get ready to come to this service ended. Right. It's gone now. It's past. It's already out here. This service is going to come to an end. You're going to go eat lunch, and guess what? It's going to end, or the restaurant's going to throw you out. Right? Same way happens. You go visit someone's house, eventually that visit will end, or they will throw you out of their house. Right? Everything comes to an end. Even if you stay married for 50 or 60 years, our lives are coming to an end. Friendships come to an end. Jobs come to an end. Everything comes to an end. And I'm not trying to say that to bum you out. You know, that's why sometimes we build up things, and then when it ends, we crash to the ground. It's like a sugar rush, right? We build up vacation, and when vacation's over, we're like, my life stinks. Right? Because everything comes to an end. But going into 2018 tells us that 2017 is ended. Not that 2017 has, or what has happened in 2017 stopped or disappeared or ceased. Obviously, it will carry on. And I think it's awesome. You know, we look at the calendar and say, man, it's a new year. We're making resolutions. We're going to make changes in our year. And we know that God is timeless. He doesn't look at time the same way we do. 1,000 years is a day to God. And I know that He doesn't look at our calendar and God's like, you know, I want to make resolutions to be a better God in 2018. He can't be any better than what He is. He's God, right? You know, and He doesn't necessarily see our new year. I mean, if you really want to be technical, God probably follows the Jewish calendar, and they had their new year in September. So we've already missed it, right? But I think at the same time, God does see in our lives that we are coming to a transition. This is a transition point in our life, and I believe that God sees that. And because God sees that, what happened last year is probably going to continue. But what can end is how we've handled it. What can end is how we've looked at it. What can end is the attitude that we take into the new year. You know, we all bring something to church every Sunday. We bring our Bibles, we bring our spouses, sometimes we wish we left them home. We bring pens, we bring wallets, sometimes we make sure we don't bring that. We bring all kinds. Anybody, y'all caught that, right? Yeah. We bring all kinds of things, different things to church, but everybody brings their attitude. Everybody brings their attitude. And so when we go into 2018, I'm not saying that what you're going through is ceasing, but who we are can change. How we see it can change. How we handle things can change. When we get in our spirit, it's over. It's a new beginning. That means it's a new beginning of faith and obedience, which means I can move on. I can move on. So when it comes to this life, the one thing that is certain about it is that it will end. It will end. It is appointed unto man once to die. But whether we are taken by death or whether we are still alive on this planet at the coming of Jesus, one way or another, life as we know it on planet Earth will come to an end. Peter says that this planet will burn up with a fervent heat. There are as many thoughts about the end times and how it will play out as there are verses in the book of Revelation. If anybody actually will sit down and do a study of views of eschatology, there are as many views as you can possibly count of how we think the world is going to end. Of course, we all want to believe that it's just going to end the way Left Behind tells us, right? We're all going to follow Tim LaHaye into the rising sun, right? We're all going to see it that way. But there are as many ideas about how this is going to end, how it's going to play out. But one thing that is certain, Jesus is coming. One thing is certain. You can talk about all the ideas. You can be premillennial. You can be postmillennial. You can be amillennial. You can be whatever you want millennial. You can look at it in any way. There are some people that are pre-trib and mid-trib and post-trib. There are some that don't believe in a tribulation. Some that believe the millennial is actually 1,000 years. Some people believe that the millennial is just a figurative metaphor. Some people believe that he's going to physically sit in Jerusalem. Some people believe that that's just talking about some type of idea. There are as many ideas about what's going to happen at the end of this age, but I can tell you what I know is happening. Jesus is coming. Amen. And heaven is real. And hell is real, and these are realities that we must face when we are talking about the end. Amen. These are realities that we must consider, and these are certainties. Certainties. And Jesus reminds us that if we want to make it to the end, we must endure. And again, that means if we want to make it to the end of us receiving our blessing, if we want to get to the end of our fervent prayer being answered, if we want to get to the end of letting things go, if we want to get to the end of letting circumstances constantly get us down, or if we want to make it to the end of this life and be able to stand before God and say, I made it, then we must endure. So the end is something very, very powerful. It can be something that we are sad about, and it can be something that we rejoice with exceeding great joy over. It's over. Thank God it's over. Right? But either way, we have to recognize that the end of something is not the end. There's always a new beginning. Even when we come to the end of this life, O death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Even the most final thing that we can think of as human beings, death itself, is not the end. It is only the beginning. So that always means there's a new beginning in God. There's always something new that God wants to do in us, through us, and for us. So how do we live? If the earth's going to burn up, if this place is not always going to be here, how do we live? Quickly, there are four challenges I want to give you. First of all, live with wisdom. That means we need to have discernment. That means we need to learn how to listen to the voice of the Spirit. That means we need to get the Word of God down in our life. If we have not been Bible readers in 2017, we need to be Bible readers in 2018. If we have not been people who spend time in consistent prayer in 2017, we need to be people who are consistently praying in 2018. Worshipers. People who fellowship and connect with other people. We need the wisdom of God's Word. We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We need the wisdom of counselors and friends and fellowship that we have together. We need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. We need to walk in the power of God and let Him give us the discernment that we need. Because the verse before this, in verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We've got to have wisdom to live out the life that God has called us to live. Ephesians says, walk circumspectly. That means to live wisely. The second challenge is number our days. I was just thinking about this, and this might sound a little down, but I was thinking about this. If I live to be 85 years old, if I live to be 85, that means I've got 40 years left. That actually means I've got less years left on this planet than I've already lived. I'm past the halfway mark. That means I've got 40 years. I've got 480 months, 2,080 weeks, 14,600 days, 350,400 hours, 21,024,000 minutes, and 1,261,440,000 seconds. Or 439,999 seconds, 998, 997, 996, 995. My days are numbered. My days are numbered. And that's not always, some of you are like, I'm not punching mine in there. I really don't have any desire to know how many seconds I got left. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. The way that we live wisely is to recognize that we need to number our days. We have been given allotted a certain amount of time, and we shouldn't waste it. Number your days. And that means that there are times in our lives that we've got to put things to the side that are just not as important. We've got to quit working ourselves to death and missing out with time with friends and family. We've got to recognize that investing in people is more important than investing in the almighty dollar. We've got to number our days. Number three, we need to take advantage of every opportunity. And obviously this goes with numbering our days. Ephesians says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Paul was saying, take the most of every opportunity that you've been given. Every opportunity that you've been given, use it to the fullest extent. Every day is a new blessing. Every day is a new opportunity for you to let your light shine, for you to love someone, for you to invest in somebody's life. Today is a new day. Amen. And that means because of that, we need to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us. And number four, these are my challenges. First of all, live with wisdom. Number two, number your days. Number three, take advantage of every opportunity. And number four, say goodbye to excuses. Say goodbye to excuses. At the end of the day, if we are going to change, the first thing that has to change would be our excuses. There are always going to be reasons why you don't have time, whether it's to fulfill your dream or pursue that next step. There's always going to be reasons in your life why you can't pray, why you can't read your Bible, why you can't make it to church, why you can't give, why you can't serve, why you can't love someone, why you can't forgive somebody. There are going to always be a reason, and your justifications are probably going to be understandable. We all have them. We all have understandable justifications for why we are where we are, for why we have trouble letting go of the past, for why we have trouble forgiving. I mean, 2016 and 2017 has been some of the most dividing years I have ever seen in this country, especially when it comes to politics. And for some reason, some of us still can't move on. Can't move on from an election, for heaven's sakes. Let's move on. Whether the guy you wanted to win won or not, move on. Can we live and love people? The last time I saw it, the country is still here. Amen. Let's do what we do as the people of God. Let's do what we do as kingdom people. This is not even my country at the end of the day. I belong to a different kingdom. And so I live that out in this blessed country. I'm grateful for where we are. I'm grateful for what God has done, but I also know that I can live a life that brings honor to God. So I've got to recognize, man, no more excuses. No more excuses. No more excuses about how someone else is acting towards me. How someone acts towards me does not have to affect how I act towards them.
Amen. That's good.
No more excuses. We say goodbye to those. And so 2018, live with wisdom, number your days, take advantage of every opportunity and say goodbye to excuses. Because at the end of the day, what we are going to have to do is lean on grace, move in obedience, and act in faith. Trouble doesn't last always, but God's faithfulness sure does. Trouble doesn't last forever, but God's faithfulness always does. And so I challenge you this morning. I don't know where you are what kind of 2017 you had. I'm gonna be honest with you, God's been good to me in 2017. We've had ups and downs, we've had ins and outs. You have bad days, you have good days, but God's blessed. And I'm grateful for that. God's blessed this church in 2017. I'm grateful for that. And I'm looking forward to 2018. But I don't know what you may have gone through, but I just want you to know this morning, 2017's over. It's over. It's over. Let it go. Let a new beginning wash over you in Jesus. Lean on grace, move in obedience, act in faith, and God can bring new things into your life.